Hello and welcome to part two of the How They Did It Business podcast, where we share stories from the best in business. I'm your host, Alec Taylor, the founder of Diverse BC, and we are back with Ulrich Musset. He's the founder and COO of Vauban, which is a well container platform. It basically lets you set up and deploy complex entities such as funds and SPVs in hours with just a few clicks. You know, and honestly, I think this is, I just want to take a step back and talk about this and say that when you're setting up any legal entity, or when you're kind of building out an LLC, or you're building out a fund or anything like that, there are so many stages to this. So this is a really amazing company. Super excited to be diving a little bit deeper. Ulrich, welcome back for part two. Are you ready to hop in?
Yeah, let's do it. Very excited to dive deeper in Vauban.
I love it. With that said, you know, you've been an entrepreneur now and a leader building this out. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to where you are today?
As I said, I learned how to code quite an early age. Like at 12, I launched my first project. It was a community for readers and writers to share their fan fiction, some sort of Wattpad. So that was the early beginning of this fan fiction trend, and that was a pretty good experience. Then when I was in high school, I launched an online game with like more than 50,000 users. It was a pretty intense experience, quite enjoyed, very time and consuming. It was hard to do my like study on the side as well. And then I went to classic university economic and business degree, where I met my current co-founder. Quite enjoy the business side of things, but I wanted something more scientific. So I switched to like software engineering degree in France. And during uni, we launched this fashion mobile app, like Tinder for fashion, where same, you could swipe like through clothes. And that didn't really work. We tried to launch another project, which was an esports betting platform, where you could bet on you know, like esports, such as like StarCraft, League of Legends, and all that. Things that the regulation side of things was really hardcore and challenging. Like it required a lot of capital upfront, so we didn't move forward with this project. I then worked for an insurance company while my co-founder was working for a corporate service provider, so like a company that incorporates other companies and investment vehicles. And that's where we realized that there was a huge opportunity in the market, because the way things are like the way things are done are very inefficient, and we thought, like, you know, if we could add tech to the entire process, like it would be a much better experience for all these like venture capitalists and private equity managers, etc. So we put together a landing page with a pretty simple message. You know, it was like, launch your hedge fund and launch your VC fund online. Like, just you can get started in a few clicks. And we got a lot of inquiries immediately, like more than 10 per day. So that was, it was pretty fantastic, to be honest. So that's how we started Vauban. Like, we resigned from our respective jobs and we went full time.
I love that. And that's such a, I love how you guys are bought in. You said, nope, we validated the idea. Now we're moving on. And so we're here now with Vauban. Can you tell us a little bit about the business? And, you know, we kind of got the background of how you guys ended up coming about it. But can you tell people, you know, who are hearing about this for the first time, you know, what do they need to know about your business? And who are you targeting? How are they impacted by your services?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So essentially, we are on a mission to build the modern infrastructure for the private market. So the private market is an industry that functions like kind of the circulatory system of the economy, where investors inject money in venture capital, private equity, real estate funds, and then this fund manager will invest, you know, in startups, in private companies, in innovative companies, in infrastructure, in clean technology, robotic warehouses, like, you know, all this kind of exciting stuff. And yeah, without private market, you know, the world would simply not exist, right? The problem is that the way this capital is injected is very broken. You know, like trillions of assets still remain managed on unstable Excel sheets, where you have a Word document everywhere in different email chain with your lawyer and your accountant, and you need to report to your investors, etc. So the our goal is really to change all that. Like, we are the only tech solution that really enables like venture capitalists, yeah, real estate manager to pool and deploy capital at scale and in a very efficient way. So yeah, the vision is really to be this kind of infrastructure layer for the private market, where we'll abstract all of the complexity of setting up this investment vehicle entity that we call the wealth container, and to abstract the complexity of the legal, the accounting, the banking in a very easy to use online platform.
So what I'm interested to hear is a little bit more about how it's such a hard process. Like, can you kind of break down what some of the processes, even for, let's use a venture capital fund, for example, you know, what does that process typically look like? And then how do you guys accelerate that process for people? I think that would, that's the piece that that I'd love to understand more about.
Well, so yeah, when you want to launch your fund, so you need to go to talk to different lawyers, and then you need to, you know, get more familiar with like the regulation around managing a fund. And then you need to hire like an accountant, like a fund administrator, to do the accounting of the fund. Then you need to onboard your investors. So there are a lot of regulation nowadays because of the financial crisis and the money laundering, etc. So you need to do the onboarding of the investors and ask a lot of information and do a lot of reporting and file a lot of information as well to the regulator. So all these kind of things, it really prevents, you know, the fund manager to focus on what they love. And what they love is just to, you know, make great investment and find capital from their investors. And essentially, they don't want to be bored, you know, with like legal, accounting, all this kind of very painful stuff that is very time consuming for them. So yeah, we just automate all the back office. So we automate the legal generation. So, you know, you just go to our website, you click on Get Started, you select, you know, if you want to launch a VC or real estate fund. So let's say it's a VC, you then like fill out a form where you can really tailor, you know, your VC and select like different kind of waterfall to choose your carry interest, your preferred return, etc. Like, I'm sure you are very familiar with that, Alec. And then we automatically generate all the legal documents you need to get started. So if we want really to go into details, to be like the offering memorandum, the limited partnership agreement, the subscription agreement, etc. Like all this kind of fun stuff. So we generate all that in just literally 1 second. And then we incorporate the entity, and your investors, you know, can onboard online. So yeah, it's not, you know, a paper process at all. It's just happen online, and it 10 times easier and faster.
You know, I love how you basically rapidly accelerate the process, right? Fundamentally, and you create something that requires tens of hundreds of thousands of dollars of legal financial money to be able to structure everything, right? And you basically accelerate that process so you can hit the ground running. Now, one of the interesting pieces is that when you are talking about, you know, structuring different, you know, FINRA compliance, for example, different documentations you need to have, there's different documents needed in the UK versus in the US, right? State to state might have different compliance aspects that you need to be able to support. Are you guys attacking the international market? And how are you guys going about that, if that is the case?
So yeah, no, absolutely. Like, jurisdiction are different, regulation are different. The thing is that we automate a use case, and a use case for us, it's, let's say you are a venture capitalist in Europe and you want to launch a fund. Then we have a wealth container for you, and we have automated this use case. So we have, you know, made some partnership with law firms. We have your taxes sorted. We have all the processes sorted if you want to start a VC in Europe. Then if you want to start a VC in the US, it's a different workflow, like it's a different process. Our platform can adapt for this customized workflow, but it's a completely different use case and different products because, you know, it's not the same law, obviously, it's not the same regulation, etc.
Very interesting. And, you know, one of the other pieces that I was thinking about is, You know, there's so many different types of venture capital firms, from, you know, seed or pre-seed. You know, I mean, before that, you go to angel investors, right? High net worth individuals. But, you know, when it comes to building this out, what are the minimum financial requirements somebody needs to get into this space? And then to what extent does it end, I think, isn't as important. But starting off, how little of a fund can you have to be leveraging, you know, your guys' tools and to get started if somebody wants to get into the space?
Yeah, so in general, we recommend that if you have, you know, less than 1 million committed by your investors, you can invest on a deal by deal basis. So, you know, you will source a deal and you will create an SPV, so a special purpose vehicle for that deal that is going to invest in only this startup. And then you will pool investor capital in this deal and invest in this startup. And you will do that like for, let's say, 5 or 10 deals. And when you have your track record, you know, built, then you can go to investors and start raising a proper fund. So yeah, I will say that the threshold to make sense from an economic perspective is around, one to two million.
You know, I think that's one of the things I wanted to focus on, because I feel like a lot of people think that when you're creating a venture capital fund, you have to have $250 million, $1 billion fund, but that's not even the case. Now there are these ultra funds, right? If we look at SoftBank's $100 billion fund, it's absolutely massive, but the barrier to entry being $1 million is something that can be done. If you are willing to put in the legwork, find the right investments, find the right entrepreneurs and business models that are going to be significantly profitable at the right stage, you can definitely make that happen. So I just wanted to kind of create that platform and make sure everybody understands that. Now, I want to talk about, you know, where you see the future of Valbond and how, you know, you guys are changing the industry and where the venture capital space, as well as just the investment space, is moving. What are you seeing on your side, and where do you think it will be in 5-10 years from now?
You know, very interesting question. I think that the market is moving really fast. I think overall, like, the industry is moving to further democratization from an investor perspective, you know, because 10 years ago, investment in the private market, you know, was like in VC or in private equity fund, it was traditionally reserved to ultra net worth or family offices or like super large financial institution. Like the minimum ticket size, you know, to invest in a VC or a PE fund was like 10 million. But now the industry, you know, is realizing that retail investors or accredited in investors, but that are, you know, retail compared to like ultra net worth and family offices, sophisticated investors that have like, you know, trillion of dollars that can be invested. So the barrier to entry is lower than before. It will, I think it will incite people to invest more in this type of like alternative investment. So, you know, not public market or bonds. And we see this democratization happening as well on the fund manager side, where, as you say, you know, before you would start a VC fund with only 100 or 200 million. And now we see more and more people, you know, when founders, they make their exit, they want to become a venture capitalist, and they pull together some funds with their founder friends, and they start, you know, this small like VC fund with just, one to two million, and they grow from there.
Very interesting. Now, just kind of a random question. What have you seen is something that surprised you about the industry from, you know, the work that you're doing right now? And, you know, was there something that stood out to you as surprising information? Or it's almost like that TikTok. It's like, well, tell me something that you feel should be illegal to know, but it's like just common knowledge. Is anything that stood out to you?
So, yeah, I mean, before we started the company, we knew the industry was complex. We didn't expect to be that complex, to be honest, you know, because we are really at the intersection of finance, tech, law, taxes, regulation, accounting.
Really simple industry to be in.
So, and you know, you need to create, you know, a great product combining all of these different pieces. So that's extremely interesting and challenging from an intellectual perspective. But to make it, like, it requires, a crazy amount of work.
I think that's like with anything, honestly. It takes so much more work to build any business, from the platform to hiring. Oh goodness, hiring! Don't even get me started there. Finding the right people and so much more. It's a tremendous task. Now, I want to understand, what is one of the biggest pain points that you're facing today with this industry and this space? You know, you guys are seeing a lot of success. I've been seeing that, but What are some of the biggest challenges that you're facing right now?
So I will say you just say it. It's hiring. Like, and it was definitely the hardest, like, kind of unforeseen challenge that we face. Because when you are, you know, when you are looking for a job, you think the employer, you know, has a lot of choices and that it should not be that hard for a company to hire someone. But when you actually try to hire, you realize that there is a true talent competition, right? And that you really need to sell the company to attract like top talent. And if you add on top of that the fact that hiring seems just like a broken concept from the first place, where you know you are supposed in a couple of discussion and an interview to make kind of a huge commitment if you want to join the adventure for like the next 5 years or 10 years, and you are supposed to match this person in just 2 hours. So yeah, no, that's a very tricky and complex topic.
You know, it's very interesting you say that, because you know, when you put it that way, you know, there are a lot of people out there, but finding the right person is very challenging, because you don't want, I mean, the amount of resources it takes to train someone in general, especially when you're early on in a company where you don't have a massive HR team, onboarding team, and all the different resources built out. I remember we're building out, you know, hey, who are we at Diverse VC? And, you know, what are we doing here? What are the different products that we have, et cetera? That took a tremendous amount of time. And first thing first, just make sure you have recorded videos. It's a reusable asset, amazing. But when it comes to finding the right person, you know, the wrong person can cause you 10 times as much struggle, whereas the right person causes you 10 times as more success, and be willing to kind of work through so many different pieces. And it is truly a big challenge. I think it was called Hiring Rock Stars is a really amazing book. I might have to double check on that one. I think that's what it's called. Speaking with one of our previous venture capitalists that we had on the podcast, Sergio, really amazing perspective on kind of finding the right people to hire as well. And I think another piece, just kind of talking about like diversity, is one of the things that we're really focused and emphasizing on, is finding the right people from a diverse standpoint. This isn't just ethnicity. This can be gender. This could be being a parent, having a criminal background. There's so many different ways to look at diversity. And by finding the right hire, and then making sure they're onboarded and supported and developed throughout the process at your company at such an early stage, it builds into the culture, you know, of your business. It attracts, as you said, you have to, as a company, attract amazing people as well, right? You have to kind of have that sizzle, that ooh, I want to go work there kind of feel to everything, right? Whether that be the industry, what you're doing, the founders that you have around you, and just garnering that excitement. And a big part of that is like having the right type of people in that space, and other people that look like them sometimes as well. And finding those people is tremendously challenging. So it's very interesting. I have a couple of resources I might want to put you onto. Now, Ulrich, I want to round this conversation off. An amazing, amazing podcast so far. I've been having a great time learning a lot more about your space and how you're having such an amazing impact on creating accessibility for so many people. But as we're starting to talk a little bit about diversity, it's one of our core values here at Diverse VC for our diversity consulting aspect, right? Whether it be from gender to ethnicity, industry, accessibility, skill sets, there's so many different ways to paint diversity. Out of curiosity from your side, I mean, I'll kind of throw two questions, pick your preferred one. You know, where do you specifically see the greatest need for diversity right now in your space? Or if you feel like another way to frame it would be, you know, how have leaders been addressing the need for diversity in your space? Really curious for your take on this.
So, yeah, I think our industry is pretty simple to solve this problem, is that you just have to follow the money. Like, you know, essentially in the kind of like VC or private equity ecosystem, when you look at who financially supports the startups, you know, so they are the VCs. And again, who supports the VCs? They are the limited partners. Actually, what we see is that the limited partners are putting a lot of pressure on the VCs to invest in, you know, in diverse companies, or to invest in some kind of like ecological or metric or social or diversity, etc. And so they put this pressure on VCs and private equity manager. And then these private equity managers, they put pressure on the company so they can, you know, reach these like different metrics and targets. And I think we are not far from a world where VCs will start measuring these like different metrics to make an investment decision in addition to all the one, you know, they've already measured. Like there is this big trend like of ESG for like economic, social and governance, where it's starting to be like really, really important. And I think in the VC ecosystem, we would start seeing like this same type of metrics really, really soon. I think it won't take more than a couple of years before, as a startup, you would need to follow these metrics. You know, even if you are a startup, it's not an excuse not to have metrics for that. I'm also a big believer in the democratization of the venture space, because diverse investors and diverse venture capitalists will mean more investment into, you know, sometimes overlooked companies with like different, you know, type of founders from a gender perspective, etc. So having diverse investors will mean diverse VC and diverse companies. I think it's as simple as following the flow of the money.
Very interesting take on that, because I think I was looking at, and this is, go back to Instagram, there's a page called Praying for Exits. It's basically a Silicon Valley investor. Mm. He has a fund.
I'm following that one as well.
He has some really funny tweets there. And yeah. I think one of it was a boardroom of just, you know, all white men in there. And it was like, when you invest like 19 basis points of your fund into diverse companies, and you say that you're investing in diverse companies, right? But like the reality is you're 99% leveraged into different non-diverse organizations. It is really interesting. It kind of reminded me of that. It's like, to some degree, I think, yes, if you were to have more diverse, let's say, venture capitalists, or, you know, an emphasis on finding diverse companies, yes, I think that does, by definition, increase the quantity of companies that are receiving funding from the venture capital industry. But more than that, it's actually like putting larger sums of money into these companies, right? Because giving a diverse company, $50,000 doesn't really allow that company to grow and scale at the same size as $25 million, right? Like, I think that would be a really interesting way to look at it. And I think the other piece that I thought was really interesting about what you had mentioned was that venture capitalists are being pushed by their LPs right now to be focusing on more diverse businesses. I'm curious, in your perspective, when you're working with some of these different individuals who are building up their funds or looking to use your services, are you seeing a desire right now from them, from the investors, to focus on these different diverse businesses? Or is this kind of like an afterthought from what you're seeing and with the companies you're working with right now?
From the end investors, like from the investors that invest in this venture capital? Yeah, I mean...
From the fund managers primarily.
From the fund manager perspective. So I just had a call actually this week where... So essentially we have this... we have our platform, you know, where you can do a deal-by-deal investment. So you can promote a deal to your limited partners and you can, you know, market your opportunity, like, you know, the valuation, what's the market, what's the... like investment thesis on the startup, etc. And this VC asked, like, actually, can we put some our own criteria? Like we want the gender mixity percentage, etc., as well as, you know, different revenue, etc., metrics for our LPs. So yeah, that's one great example of VCs that accommodate, you know, this requirement from their limited partners to see this type of metrics in the deals they want to invest in.
Very interesting. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't see on the outside looking in, but because you're in the inside looking out, that's a really interesting piece to be pulling out there. Now, I want to take a step back. What an amazing conversation, learning a lot more about Vauban, your background, the amazing things that you guys are doing to create a lot more accessibility for investors. And then also just understanding like how diversity is starting to take a bigger place in all of this. And we'll have to have a conversation off the record of the podcast more about this. It's tremendously interesting. Now I want to take a step back and just talk about yourself really quick. And, you know, you have all this amazing stuff going on, but you're not a robot, right? You're a person. You need to recharge and reset your batteries. Out of curiosity, you know, for yourself, do you have any hobbies, extracurriculars, or projects that you do to get your mind off work and get you recharged and reset?
Work keep me quite busy, right? Like, so not really. Like, I enjoy, listening to podcasts when I walk back home and just reading books when I have time. So not business books. I've never finish a business book, because when I read the first, you know, like 10 pages, I start thinking about a lot of situation at work, and it's actually not relaxing at all. So, so as a hobby, I would say just read like fiction.
You know, that's actually a really interesting comment there. As somebody who, when I was in university, I loved reading business books. I thought, you know, good to great, lean startup, you know, zero to one, blah, 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 blah. You can keep going. And now, once you like really start to build businesses and you're out here, honestly, the books you want to read is like, I don't know why this came to mind, but like The Great Gatsby, just a story about something completely different, right? And if I had to suggest one, you might really enjoy, it's by Tim Ferriss. I'm a big fan of Tim Ferriss. I love the work that he does and some of the books he puts together. I believe it's called Tools of Titan. It's like the tactics, routines, tools, belief systems that, you know, billionaires and icons from all around the world have. And it's broken into three sessions. One is health. So a lot of people who are, you know, professional athletes or trainers or even doctors, perhaps, their routines, their eating habits, the way they work out, different devices they use to stay healthy. Then part two is about wealth, where it talks about how people view, you know, financial mantras, how they're investing in things, different methods and vehicles they're using. And then the final section is actually about wisdom. You know, what have people learned over time, things like that. I think you would really love that book because it just offers, give or take, like 2 to 5 pages per person. Mm-hmm. And it's just all these different people. And it really broadens like your mindset of, wow, people have these really crazy different lifestyles. Yeah. So that might be a fun one to check out. Awesome.
Cool. I will give it a go.
Awesome. Ulrich, hey, thank you so much for coming on today's podcast. I had an absolute blast learning more about your business and the impact that you guys are having. I think a lot of people will find it really interesting, the space that you're breaking into and how you're creating so much accessibility. But with that said, I wanted to open up the floor for you. Please feel free to share anything about Valbon, what you guys have going on in your space, where to find you. If you're looking to hire, who you're looking to hire, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I mean, we are hiring for a lot of positions. Like, we are just closing our Series A actually in a couple of weeks. So yeah, as I said, like, it's a I think it's a very exciting journey. You know, right now, like, we've got 350 million transacted through the platform, but we really want to reach like 1 billion this year. So yeah, we would need like top talent. So we are hiring in sales, in engineering, in marketing, like a bit everywhere, really. So if you are in Europe, or we have some remote jobs as well, so don't hesitate. Just go to the website and apply.
I love that. Ulrich, thank you so much for coming on today's podcast. Listeners, if you're looking for a job, check Valbon out. Really amazing company, what they have going on there. If you're interested in the financial space, also check it out. Love the work that they're doing. With that said, if you took one thing from today's podcast, you got a new idea, learned about something new, I count that as a success. That is all we have for today's How They Did It Business podcast, where we bring on the best in business. See you guys soon for another episode. Bye.